Honorable Committee, and we take back the floor to the as given to us. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
I see hands before I could even take over. Thank you very much, DG and your team, for the presentation, I'm now going to allow the honorable members to engage the report as presented. I see Honorable Hendricks, your hand is up, followed by Honorable Bergman, Honorable Ngosi, Honorable Mowela, Honorable Swartz, Honorable Mbanza. I'm trying to scroll down and see. Okay, there is Honorable Msane raising her hand as well. Honorable Msane, Honorable Chetty. In that order, honorable members, number one.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to engage with the annual report. Honorable Chair, the annual report just blew me away. I was so impressed with all that the department is doing, and this is the kind of information that the Department of International Relations should open to the streets. People should know about this. They don't know about it. I'm an honorable member now in Parliament for just over a year, and none of the key features of the report has ever captured my imagination as it does now. So I would like to compliment the department on spending the $6 million very well. And Honorable Chair, I just want to highlight a few issues. The department is doing amazing work with a position on Western Sahara, and we call for a early referendum so that the world can know whether the people want their independence from Morocco or not. There is a French voters role, and that can be used, and this can be easily implemented, and I'm sure South Africa will continue to highlight the commitments that the United Nations has made with Western Sahara. Also, the humanitarian approach to events affecting Rohingya Muslims, I think the department must be commended on it. But the silver bullet, Honorable Chair, is that Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and the United Emirates, it will now be visa-free, and that will help quite a lot with promoting tourism, and it is good for the economy now after the pandemic. However, I would like to know whether it is reciprocal, especially with Saudi Arabia, because then it means that Muslims going on pilgrimage don't need a visa like Americans and British people, and like it was in the days of apartheid, because there were no formal links. Muslims used to get their visas on arrival. I'm very happy that the department is monitoring visa in 2063, when we eventually have the United States of Africa with the highest levels of social economic advancement. So it looks at the department's eyes are on the ball all the time. The standby force, I don't see any progress. The speaker has asked that the standby force be revived, and that one-third of the standby force to continue silencing the guns must consist of women. We haven't heard anything about that, and maybe that is something for the department to look at. Then, of course, we must not forget that Indonesia played a very important role in putting the liberation movement led by the ANC on the world map by inviting them to, I can't remember the name of the conference, and I feel that we need to strengthen ties with them. But thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I am very impressed with the report.
Honorable Bachmann.
Thank you very much, Chair. Can you hear me?
You can remove your mask if you are not in a public place. Where are you?
I'm in the middle of an aeroplane. Chair, just to say that the first problem is the diplomats.
Being in the middle of an aeroplane, it compromises the decorum of the meeting itself. Remember, this is the
same of party on a plane. Exactly. Unfortunately, I have to fly home, so I'm trying to compromise. Chef, the problem is there's diplomats returning home at the moment, and they are currently, some of them suffering comorbidities, and yet they're being asked to still return home. Now, this is a problem, this is a risk to their health currently. I'm a bit concerned about that. Also, I've asked questions to Parliament with regard to the vulnerability of our IT system based on the questions that we had in previous presentations. As the DG just alluded to again, this is with regards to what's happening up north. Obviously, this is a concern to us that we are opening ourselves up to far more vulnerability than what we, I think, lead ourselves on to believe. I also want to say that in terms of the presentation, that with regards to the African Union and the United Nations Security Council positions that we've held, I think it would be useful for us to actually get a presentation on the productivity of that position that we held in terms of what we've managed to achieve in the year as part of our scorecard. I think it would be very much close to our international relations, and I think it should be, I think it should be part of the scorecard. I think it was also highly evident during COVID that lockdown seemed to show us that some of our missions are just job creation projects or parking lots. They don't seem to, they just did not seem to be actual missions that were actually assisting people. At this stage, there seems to be some missions currently that are not assisting people. I'll guide you to missions in the UK currently, missions in the US, where we're getting complaints where people cannot access consular services currently. And I was hoping that the DG can just guide me as to when we can expect those missions to open fully in terms of consular services, notwithstanding that obviously I know that the UK is in lockdown, but we do know that there could be services that we could either render online or services that we could find another way to render, be it via Pretoria or via, we could find another way to maybe guide people to Germany or something, just be a little bit more creative in how we guide people. And then, of course, when it comes to, we've been talking for years now that we were actually going to look at closing down some missions, and not just the political ones, but that we're going to close down missions. We've been on oversight tours where we've seen like derelict properties in like beautiful Namibia. We've seen load shedding generators in electricity-rich Belgium. We've seen an empty lot in Senegal. And I just think it's time for us to work together to make a proudly South African presence abroad. Thank you very much, Chair.
I'm tempted not to give you another round because that thing that you're doing there is out of order, Honorable Brahma.
Thank you, Chair. I think we must commend the department on the performance report. My only issue there is around governance. Just to check with the DG why the risk is a subcommittee of the audit and risk, and why it is chaired by the deputy chair of internal audit and risk, because this violates generally the enterprise-wide risk management or risk strategy approach. I'm going to zoom in only on the financials of the department. Firstly, just to indicate that why is the department, or why did the department submit annual financial statements with material misstatements that had to be corrected before they were agreed to or sanctioned by the AG? This in itself indicates and leads to particular issues that we have continuously raised around the finance department. The second issue, Chair, around the finance issue is, for me, the public diplomacy and protocol program in program four. I want to know what amount is allocated for Radio Ubuntu in terms of how much for personnel, how much for programs, and what is the impact in the assessment of the DG? Because my view is that we are not getting value for money in that program. Now, there are three specific issues that I want to raise on the issues raised by the AG. Irregular expenditure. We accept the explanation that the irregular expenditure will continue as long as they have not been corrected. And I have heard the DG say that this matter is going to be addressed going forward in this current financial year. I just want the DG to, one, report regularly on these efforts to resolve these irregular contracts and contract management. In particular, they identified contracts of MASEC, Tendo, and the BT1 on IT. And would also recommend, as they do, that this also requires a forensic investigation on their side to get at the root causes of why these, firstly, were entered into, and secondly, why do they continue. On unauthorized expenditure, Chair, I think that the problem is around the reclassification. In the first place, why? Because this arises out of our cash and receivables. Why reclassify what you are not able to give concrete evidence, documentary, for, in the hope that you will then not get a qualification? In the final end, what you did also gave you a qualification. However, I'm very happy now that Treasury has indicated that the creation of that suspended account in no way resolves the matter, because the matter still remains and that there has to be investigations on this one. And I welcome that the department is engaging on a forensic investigation of this matter, and that they should report on a continuous basis to the committee on the unauthorized expenditure as intended. And also, do a cost-benefit analysis. If you're writing off 188 million, or if you seek to write 188 million for which you don't have documentary proof, what is the cost of you deploying at least an accountant in all those missions to assist you to do the reconciliations on a daily basis so that they report to yourselves, and then you will not have this issue, rather than just writing it off, because it will continue if we don't act on this thing. The last point is that I am asking that the DG favors us with an audit action plan for the financial year 2018-2019 and for this current financial year they're reporting it on, which is 2019-2020. Thank you, Chair.
Can I proceed?
I noted all of you guys. This is supposed to flow.
Honorable Chair. Greetings, honorable members. I want to welcome your input, honorable Chair, your opening input. You were spot on. And let me also join other honorable members who spoke before me, in particular Honorable Nkosi, on the issues that he has raised, because he has raised a number of issues, and those issues that he has raised are issues that we have raised even before, Honorable Chen. Now, I want to start by raising the following issues as I join Honorable Nkosi as to, firstly, DG, who is managing finances of the ARS funds, and who is the accounting officer? I'm raising this because you see there's a huge difference in ARS compared to the department, especially in your finance branch. Secondly, can you agree with me, DG, that the finance branch does not have suitable or qualified officials to perform functions in that particular branch? Can you agree with me or not? If not, if you're not agreeing with me, can you further elaborate why you're not agreeing with me? How many times did the committee ask you about consequence management, DG? You're coming today here, you're raising the same matter of consequence management, that it was delayed because of whatever reasons, which to me, those reasons doesn't suffice. And I want to put it categorically here that to me, DG, on the issues of consequence management, it seems as if you are undermining us, and you're undermining this committee. We've raised this matter with you not once, not twice, not thrice, but many times. You are still failing even today to tell us what did you do. Instead, you come here and tell us what. You don't even tell us the what does not have an explanation. It can't be correct, DG. It can't be correct. We want to see and we want a report on issues of consequence management. It's about time. We are not a playing ground. Whenever you want to, this committee, when you want to raise issues, you come to raise issues with us, and you are not implementing some of the issues. It can't be correct, DG. Not now, not tomorrow, not ever. And if you are failing to take decisions, in particular on issues of consequence management, I will recommend today in this particular committee that let us take decisions against you. Disciplinary actions must be taken against you if you are failing, Wena, as the DG, to run that department and to implement some of the decisions that we have taken. as the committee. Again, Chair, I want to agree with you. Most of the problems, as per the audit report, that what is the problem with the finance branch? Each time when we have such problems, audit report, audit opinion, the more the problems comes from the finance branch. And again, Chairperson, we've raised those issues. And yeah, those issues that we've raised previously, we are still raising them even today. Yeah. Now it's 8:09. Young people are enjoying themselves. You know, we're busy raising previous issues that we've raised, and there's nothing that has happened. No, DG. Can you tell us why, what is the problem in that finance branch, DG? We have raised the issue of the New York, as the chairperson was saying earlier on when she was opening this meeting. The department has misled us. You lied to us. The team of Honorable Member
Honorable Muela, Utono Vela, I really don't know what's happening with your thing there. Utono Vela, your network is problematic. We'll come back to you. Honorable Sir, good evening, Chairperson and GM and honorable members and officials from the department. Chair, we welcome your opening remarks, which has covered a bulk of what we are discussing here tonight. Mine, Chair, is on the recurring qualification on annual financial statements from the department, which demonstrates weaknesses in the financial management function of the department. When government introduced accountability in government through the PFMAA, it set out to enhance capacity of heads of departments as accounting officers by providing for appointments of chief financial officers and other appropriately qualified senior middle managers. As a committee, we have repeatedly raised the issue of competency and relevant skills and knowledge within the finance unit. This has been ignored or allowed to persist in this department. Why has the department not recruited accountants and financial managers with the requisite accredited qualifications? Why should we not conclude that the department is not serious in beefing up its finance unit with appropriately qualified personnel accredited to our nationally accredited authorities, such as the South African Institute of Chartered Accountants? When we did an oversight for the first time at this department, we alluded the notion of two bulls in the club, meaning that there's no mutual respect between the CFO and the accounting officer in this department. This is affecting performance of this department. I raise this matter because I can pick up that there seems to be no regular reporting to the accounting officer on early warnings about audit matters. My question to the department is, what is your honest view on this assertion that I'm raising to the department? Because surely, Chairperson, we are sitting with a unit that when we look at their qualifications,
we cannot sit here and really think and hope that in the next audit we are going to get anything more better than this, because we are sitting with officials who have got titles of being state accountants when they've got grade 12. I don't know, maybe they will be schooled along the way that you might have grade 12, be a state accountant, and then is it maybe the experience over the years that then gives them that sort of a title that they are state accountants, because 80% of the people in this unit have got grade 12, but the title itself is very heavy. There are there's no chartered accountant in Durko itself. So therefore we cannot expect miracles from this department. I'll end there for now, Chief. Thank you. Next.
Thank you, Chair. First of all, Chair, I cannot agree more with Honorable Muela and Honorable Swart in saying that you have, in your opening remarks, really set the tone for this meeting, and you've highlighted issues that really need to be addressed decisively. Chair, I'm not a person who wants to please or to impress other people, neither I want to be impressed myself. I think it's high time that we deal with issues. Honestly, I wish I could be Honorable Hendricks and say all the good things that he has mentioned. But having been with this committee since the beginning of the term of the office and this department, I don't know really whether I can say exactly what Honorable Hendricks has been saying. Of course, I think, as you always said, Chairperson, you must give credit where credit is due and criticize where it has to be criticized. I think when it comes to other programs 2, 3, 4, 5, I think we must really give credit on those credits. But when it comes to issues of the program number 1, and since we came into office and we'll be grappling with this program, which is administration, which the ICT, the finance, and all others, they fall under. And sometimes we do this at the expense of other programs, and it looks as if they are not doing the work the way they are doing it. And we focus on this one, the problematic chart. And Chair, this was today, this was the longest presentation that we've always had. And I don't think we can be convinced by long sentences and long, you know, presentations. It's fine. But I'm one person who is always convinced with looking at the out-based organization, not an activity-based organization. I think this department now is becoming an activity-based organization. You know, now they come with a strategy, and I think maybe they thought the strategy is going to work, of coming up with long presentations and lots of finer details. But Chair, even that is the case, the problem still remains. As Honorable Muela was last saying, we've got the elephant in the room, the finance section. And there is a big problem there. All the problems that we are dealing with in this department is coming from that area. Of course, there's the risk management issues, the PMU issues. Yes, they come. So we want outcomes. We don't want activities. An activity-based organization where they come at 8 o'clock in the morning, they knock up at 5, when they come in time, they're in the office, but it is a pity. But you don't see the outcome at the end of the day. So, Chair, I really, really want to appeal to you to say, can the minister and the DG really help us in dealing with this issue of this finance branch. And really, we should also see consequence management, and we've been raising this issue time and time and again. And I want to request, Chair, that when we come back next year, because we'll be breaking for recess, we shouldn't be getting this kind of presentation. You know, we have had this presentation many, many times. And it's not taking us anywhere. We want intervention. We want to see people with qualifications and requisite skills being put in place. And we want to see real intervention. And we want to see consequence management. And we want that report when we come back, first meeting of the committee. The DG and the minister must then give us the presentation of what this is what we've done, not always identifying the problems. So, Chair, also I just want to check, who is actually dealing with the compilation of the financials in the department? It's very critical, that question, because you can't have an entity, which is the ARS, always performing very well when it comes to audit outcomes. Where is the problem? Maybe it's going to assist us, because we must know who is doing who's dealing with the financials in the department, so that we'll know that this person is the one, or whatever, or whatever section is dealing with is the one that is problematic. And why are they not learning from the other sister section that is with them in the department? So Chairperson, you have hit the nail on the head. All the issues that we have articulated in our opening statement, I think Chair should be the ones that we are forwarding as a committee to the department, and we want those items one by one being addressed and responded to. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Honorable Mzan, thank you very much, Chairperson, for the opportunity. Thank you very much to the department for the presentation. With regards to the ARF, Chairperson, I see that we have been told that there was no observers in Malawi. But in the fourth quarter report that we received, an amount of 121,742 was processed to observe elections in Mozambique, Botswana, and Malawi. What is the reason why we did not have observers in Malawi? Could it be a political stance that South Africa does not want to be found in a country which had elections which were declared null and void by a court? So if money was processed for these election observing in Malawi, what happened? And then, Chairperson, I note that South Africa received $8.4 million from USAID. I want to check with this department chair if they are aware that one of the main goals when the U.S. made the international aid a foreign policy was to diminish the threat of communism by helping countries prosper under capitalism. And US aid comes with organizations such as Mutual Security Aid of the US. And currently in 2020, the US aid stands for to promote American prosperity through investments and expand markets of the U.S. exports in countries which they provide aid. So what does South Africa get from such aid if it's not more and more poverty and in debt to America? And what is at stake if South Africa continues to receive this aid? And then, Chairperson, I also note that we are told that the AUPSC wants to form a special unit to deal with terrorism. However, we are not told, Chairperson, what the AUPSC has said about states which use military and state forces to silence citizens. And if we can get a direction as this committee, if the ASF, its real reason why it was formed, was it not to deal with such injustices in the first place? What was South Africa's stance when this decision was taken to form a special unit to deal with terrorism in the African continent? And then, Chairperson, with regards to UNGA, UNGA was turning 75 and the charter was signed in June this year under the theme that the future we want, the UN we need, reaffirming commitments to multilateralism. Now, Chairperson, the question I want to raise to the department is, what was South Africa's stance when they signed this charter? Because none of the reforms that African states have put forward were implemented or were changed in this charter, especially in the three main organs under the UN. And South Africa is taking presidency in December of the UNSC. What are the urgent plans to implement, to be implemented by South Africa? What plans does South Africa plan to implement in its presidency in December, Chair? Chair, with regards to the irregular expenditure, when the DG made a presentation before his speaker, he highlighted that under irregular expenditure, contracts are being terminated, which we appreciate. However, when the CFO made a presentation, he said the department is implementing recommendations. Are the recommendations the cancellations of those irregular contracts, number one? Number two, those contractors that were contracted, how much, if ever, they will charge the department for breach of contract in claims of damages? Is the department going to come back and say, we have cancelled the 5 irregular contracts and this is how much the contractors are charging us for claims in damages and in breach of contract? And then, Chairperson, the report says 1.625 fruitless expenditure. When the CFO was presenting, he stated that the fruitless expenditure was due to challenges of securing suitable accommodation. But the AG report says something else. Can the department kindly clarify to us what is the 1.625 million of fruitless expenditure as per the AG's report? Because they are saying two different things. The department is saying its own things of challenges of securing suitable accommodation, but the AG is not saying that. And then Shepperton, with regards to the HR, can we kindly get a list of all positions that are occupied by South Africa in all international bodies? Because we are given a list of what the department thinks is strategic, but they don't know what the committee wants and what the committee considers as strategic. So can we get a full list of positions that are occupied by South Africa in all international bodies? I thank you, Chair.
Honorable Chetty.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Chair, at the outset, I must concur with what the Honorable Mpanza's comment in reference to the Honorable Hendricks. Clearly, the department managed to convince him, but failed to baffle the committee, who has been dealing with the department's shortcomings for the past year. And clearly, I must agree again that by giving us this long presentation, they somehow thought that they would lose us in the transition. I am puzzled by what the speakers that before me have said, but let me just add this much here. The 188 million. Why did the department intend to write this amount off without any of the supporting documents? This was raised in the AG's report. I would expect the department to give us those answers, not what they were giving us. This proves the incompetence or the lack of accounting skills that the committee has waived, that the department is lacking. Believing a fluctuating volatile exchange rate is over. We're sick and tired of every time there's a problem with over expenditure in this department, the first excuse comes out as due to the volatile and the fluctuating exchange rates. This department needs to unpack and explain to us which portion of the volatile exchange rate is contributed to the over expenditure. This new capacity, we've heard about this. We're still waiting almost a year later for the skills audit to deal with the competency in this finance branch. The poor record keeping. See, this is one of the biggest challenges in this department. An example is that there's no record keeping of transactions from the mission that should be reconciled monthly. How is this? That the monthly report from the mission, when this reaches the department, the finance department does not bother to reconfine it. Clearly it shows one of two things. An arrogance, because knowingly that there's nothing for them to answer to. Because every single time this department is asked to explain things, they come up with the same excuses. The ceiling for the salary and fluctuating rent. In the report, Chairperson, apart from others that have been raised, have been covered there, I just want to find out. We started to make sure that we want to influence there and impress upon departments. Today in the House, the Deputy President as well was very clear that the department must start making regular payments on time. My question is, and the payments, the 30 days, why is it that we only managed 83.6%? What was the hindrance to prevent us achieving 100%? Chair, under good conduct, there was a line item that other. Can we define what other was? Can it tell us exactly what the other components referred to? Was it sexual harassment or whatever it is? Tell us, so we need to know. Because I noticed that they had fraud there, but and a certain other charges, it was just other, it was left too loose for us. Now, Chief, let me get to something. And I want to take the committee back to what happened last year when we sat here. And let's go to what the report and the recommendations came from the AG. Last year we were told, in a second chance, accounting officers should ensure that action plan to address the audit outcomes is developed and implemented before the start of the interim audit. The action plan must have, amongst others, the following. Address the deficiencies in the asset management system, upskilling of key officials in the finance department, supply chain management, and foreign missions. Accounting officers should ensure that there is consequence management for officials involved in transgressions and a culture of upholding consequences is enforced by DELFO. The department should investigate cash and bank findings related to foreign bank accounts and should implement corrective action. This year, Chairperson, let's see what they tell us. Implement action plan timely to address audit findings, especially in compliance and legislation. Ensure that all procurement processes have been subjected to review by SCM prior to approval or award. Improve communication between the missions and head office to avoid instances where there is contradictory information supporting annual financial statements as evidence in the audit of cash and cash equivalents, receivables, and tangible capital. Prepare proper monthly reconciliations between the accounting records and the fixed asset register. Continue with the 100% asset verification. As you. Let's go to the next one, Chairperson. What were we told last year? And this is regarding this regard for compliance with legislation. We were told last year the top 5 compliance areas, non-compliance. Procurement of goods and receives and services without inviting competitive bids. Contracts awarded to bidders based on adjudication criteria that differed from those stipulated in the original invitation for quotations. Chair, I want to bring your attention again. The infamous New York pilot project comes up again. Very same findings where what was put out on the tender was not what was adhered to. The quality of the financial statements, again, indictment on the finance department. Prevention of unauthorized irregular principles and wasteful expenditure and money not used, not invested. What were we told last year? Now this year, Chair, we've been told no material non-compliance. Procurement and contract management. Contract extended or modified and or deviated without approval. Services procured not in accordance with the transversal contract terms. Award to bidders which is not submit the required declaration and at least 3 costs not obtained on procurement of goods and services. Expenditure management, effective and appropriate steps were not taken to prevent irregular expenditure and last time of the 211 million. Annual financial statements, material misstatements are submitted in financial statements. Now, Chairperson, what I just read out is what was last year's report from the Auditor General. Will that be this year? Nothing much has changed. No matter how fanciful the department can do their presentation and impress the Honorable Henry, they will not do that with the committee. And Chairperson, I also have a concern regarding those concepts that the department is still retaining services of, even though it has been found to have been identified as illegal and irregular. They were extended, which also resulted in where the majority of irregular expenditure emanates. All of this that the department has failed to take action against or terminate those tenders which were irregularly extended by the department. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Muela.
No, Chair, thank you. I was pushed by a network here. Last, Chair, as I was concluding, I
was saying to the DG, can the DG help us? What is happening regarding the leasing of computers, that contract, the extension of that contract without approval? And who is responsible in extending that contract without approval? The issue of cash and cash, DG, don't you think that the non-compliance issue regarding cash and cash is caused by the capacity or incapacity in that finance branch? But let us be honest, DG. Lendo ye finance branch ayikho, ibolile, it's rotten. And you are doing nothing. And it's complaining. What is it exactly that you are doing? And tell us, DG, for one to become or to be employed as a state accountant, how are the qualifications?
Honorable Mwela, indaba yakho ayikho nje.
Ayibo.
Okay. Honorable members, let's welcome the presentation from the department. And I will allow the department to respond to the questions as raised by the members of parliament and members of this portfolio committee.
DG, I have a few questions. 180 million with no documents supplied to account for it. Was reported to the portfolio committee by the AG, and in that you just decided that you pretend as if that did not happen. 188 million, the department was unable to unpack for the AG. And the question
on this one, since you want to write off the 188 million, has the executive authority of the department approved the write-off, because they are the only ones who can sanction that? What informed the write-off of the 188 million? The AG reported to us 247 million unauthorized expenditure. How did the unauthorized expenditure emerge when there's an accounting officer at the Department of International Relations? And there's something called suspense account, which I think you must unpack for the portfolio committee, which was presented and reported to us by the AG. And
it was allowed in terms of disclosure and supply chain documents, none were supplied, and it caused uncertainty for the AG. That must be reported here in this meeting. Now, having raised and said all of this, you must tell the portfolio committee who has the responsibility in the department to produce credible, produce and prepare credible statements. Whose responsibility is that? Why are we still at this day in age still receiving reports of misstatements from the AG? Since we have started here, there's been reports on misstatements. Why is that? Now, the AG reported to us that some of the irregular expenses that were measured in the department is because of unoccupied properties abroad. For 8 months to 9 months to a year, these properties are unoccupied. Why? Why do we have unoccupied properties abroad? Having the bill for you to be able to manage these properties. Why is that now? What's going on in this department that you are heading? You know? So, I'm going to ask this question which we have asked before, that why, what is it that the ARF is doing that the department cannot do to achieve clean audits? What is it? Can you please respond to the questions raised by everyone here and honorable members in particular? Thank you very much.
Thank you, honorable chair and honorable members. We will answer the questions. I will start off and take those that were very direct and still answer others. We've also lined up colleagues, since there are multiple various aspects that we are looking at. And I should just start with the last questions from the chair, while colleagues will be preparing the others, and I'll look at those that were very direct and then wait to see those that can remain. Honorable chair and honorable members, we have taken note of your concerns and questions. And to be specific to the answer, about the 188 million that the committee is referring to, I would like to assure the members, I'm not sure how the issue of writing off has come up. I'll find out how it has come up, because what we would want to report that is on paper is that management made an adjustment and indicated that there was evidence to support a particular amount. This was, the original was 208 million, which is why when we subtract 20 from 208 million, the 188 million that transaction that the committee is referring to becomes the issue. It is this one that was put in suspense, as there was, at that time of reclassification, there was no available evidence to substantiate it at the time of the audit, and therefore the impact was the finding as a limitation of scope, as the AG has alluded to, not having obtained sufficient audit evidence to support it. We would like to report to the committee and assure the committee that there is no talk of write-off. Write-off is one of the actions that are done in such circumstances. But in our case, we are not saying that. We ask our internal audit to look at the matter and assess it as an assurance provider, coming up with recommendations on how best to address the matter. It was too late into the audit, and therefore there was nothing. Normally you would have said, can you give us more time? Let us try to check this and that. But we felt it is better to allow the outcome. And now that we have noted that we have overcome some of the issues that had led to the audit opinion of the previous year. And as I said earlier, 100% verification, which we confirm we have done, and cash and cash equivalent, which we still say we have done. And then on this non-cash, this is where the issue is. The preliminary assessment that internal audit did immediately upon having this finding was to look at the root causes, and it was able to confirm the root causes that the AG pointed out. And these are weaknesses in the financial internal control systems, especially those relating to the foreign cash transfers to mission abroad, and the, including the recording thereof, which is what the honorable members have alluded to. And another root cause that was looked at was ineffective or weak record keeping process. We are confirming these things that are in the audit report, and which is the basis for qualification. We're not isolating this one because it is the only thing, but because it affects the audit opinion. I'll come to the other ones. So as a result, internal audit then said and said, DG, Department Minister, the best way to do this thing is to embark upon a forensic investigation. And let me tie this with what happened last year. Indeed, the Auditor General did recommend that we should do an investigation. And I will put it on record that the first step we took, even before we compiled the audit action plan, was to ask the AG through specialized audit service to conduct this investigation. Reason being that we realized that it is a unique area that we felt the AG is the most appropriate institution to go to the bottom of the matter. But we communicated that in October, to be precise, right into the AG, and the AG was looking at it. We were following up. But unfortunately, after repeated checks, the AG confirmed in the middle of February to say they feel they will be conflicted in being the ones investigating that. It was too late for us to do anything. But we continued to work with National Treasury, our finance worked with National Treasury, to attempt to do what that which was possible. And indeed, the ultimate result was that we could not go far enough, because this was not the only amount in question on cash and cash, if honorable members will report. We could not fire the Auditor General when it came to this 188 million. And as I said, we are in no position, not intending to write it off. And as the internal audit has recommended, so far as we speak, we have drafted terms of reference. We have tested the market. The only dilemma we have, and I must indicate that without complaining, when the AG was not able to go and conduct a physical verification of asset admissions, they could easily get audit firms in the countries and get them to immediately go and do that for them. We do not have that a privilege because we have to do competitive bidding. You spend more months looking for trying to get a service that will help you rather than dealing with the matter at hand. Now, this matter, this 188 million as reflected, and it is for us, it is a transaction, and until the investigation proves if it is the real amount or real money itself, we will not be able to determine. So as I speak, honorable members, our supply chain management process have attempted to test the market to get a company that can assist us to do the investigation, which then will confirm to us exactly this substantiated amount, as we say. It is at that stage, and we believe we're going to work very hard to ensure that it is done at deadline of February, to give ourselves a time that will enable us before the end of the financial year to have addressed this finding. Which we could have, I know of other entities, ODTs, that when they have a situation like this, they request extension and they deal with that matter and wait until it happens so that they can have a good audit outcome. We hope with this lesson is the only matter that has qualified us as it is indicated. Further to that, the chair, honorable chair, referred to the, I believe, 245 unauthorized expenditure. And how did it emerge? And I said, this is the one that I, in my opening remarks, I explained it, that it is compensation of employees. We overspend in program two, which is our line function work, bilateral work, and program three. These are the two programs which are emissions. And as a result, the waste is just far below the existing human resource establishment. It is this one that we said. It is, I won't say unavoidable, but we are in a very precarious situation. We wish we only had employees in the country, in which case we could do something about it. But we are working, and I wouldn't forget that we did say we have submitted proposals and we have got our recommendations to cabinet to indeed consider closing some of the missions. It will not become easier to deal with everything immediately after that, because there are processes included. When you close missions, you have to go through a process. You don't just wake up and do it. I'm sorry to say that, but you have to do consulting, because it is friendship. When you undo your friendship, there is a process, which is why we are not even wishing to come out with this one, because it will depend on how we will engage with those countries. We are not asking, but the financial realities dictate that we must pursue. It's one of the measures we want to do to stay within the ceiling. And furthermore, the chair spoke about who is responsible to produce statements. Indeed, it's finance, led by the CFO, but the ultimate responsibility is the accounting officer, as the PFMA indicates, but it's a delegated matter. Indeed, the Auditor General will find certain things that at the time of preparation you thought it was right, and in their own assessment, as a third eye, will find those misstatements. And I must indicate that majority of such have been dramatically been reduced. And then we hope that as we are working towards a clean audit, here we are submitting that we were just nearly to the unqualified audit, and our destination is the clean audit, which we believe once we overcome, if we were able to overcome assets, it should be recalled that asset management has been an albatross around our neck for far too long. And I said, through your oversight and through the leadership that our principals provide, through the way you really demanded accountability on us, we did do that one. And I believe even other things will be done in our lifetime during your tenure. The reported of because of unoccupied, or this one of unoccupied properties abroad, which the AGS referred to, there was no contradiction between what I said. Is that I elaborated on one aspect and what the CFO said and what the AG says when they talk about unoccupied properties abroad. This is what I said earlier, that when we're renting a property for the incumbency of a head of mission as a resident for 4 years, and the assumption is that immediately when that one finishes, the other one who has been nominated will come in and occupy that property. So because of the market conditions in and different jurisdictions in other countries, to go back and look for properties may be too cumbersome and even frustrating, and you may spend more money renting. Sometimes missions hope that to keep the property at that time will be easier for someone to come and take over. And circumstances beyond control, and I even indicated some of them are things like delayed receipt of agreements or processes of credential letters, things like required security clearances. Then you are keeping a house unoccupied with the hope that it will be occupied because you have struggled to even get it there. It's a situation that really is a problem. Therefore, I would like to submit that it is the same way that we have explained it. This is not the only area of a source of fruitless expenditure. Also, ticket cancellations are some of these things, but it should be recalled that during the year under review, especially towards the end, there was not much travel like in the previous years, including when we looked at the other circumstances where we could not honor certain activities, which is why it looks to be reduced expenditure trend. This is the dilemma that we find ourselves, and we are working on options and modalities of avoiding a situation such as this without compromising the possibility of acquiring this property. It's not always easy. Maybe in our country it could be easy to locate, to find a place and quickly go in, and our systems are known to us here. But in abroad, to just secure or procure a rental, you may have experienced things such as you want quotations, 3 quotations, and sometimes they don't believe in those things, and you don't. The Honorable Chair closed these questions by asking what is it that the ARF is doing, that the department is doing. And I can simply say the ARF is a public entity, Schedule 3A, which uses an accounting system, is CRAF, yes, and the department is another accounting standard, etc. That may be the maybe distinction. I wouldn't like to talk about small and big, but I could easily recall that its operations are such that they are manageable because they are not as diverse as those of the department. They are straightforward, these projects, but equally, I must commend the fact that the very same team that prepared and supported by the CFO in the department and the finance team are working together to ensure that those matters are addressed. But of course, there will be, so the circumstances may not necessarily be the same. And we which is why we think we can really overcome that as we have reduced the elements and amounts of things that have led us to not perform well, we will reach a stage where we can with certainty that we can overcome that. The other one is related to this question was, how are you able to do it with performance reporting? Yes, performance reporting is non-financial by nature, and it is when something is non-financial in nature, obviously its dynamics will be different, but we have mechanisms that we do in order to ensure that it too becomes as unqualified as it is, but for the mere fact that it is also an area of audit that we have managed to master since its inception. When the AG started to introduce audit of performance, we had very good discussions and workshop with the AG, and then we were able to craft our performance targets and indicators, and were able to understand how this should be reported to. And since the inception 3 years ago, we have managed it because we were able to fully grasp it from the beginning. I want to address the matter of consequence management. Honorable members, in my opening remarks, I indicated that there were three issues to be dealt with from last year's annual report. Two were these ones that qualified the department, which is assets and cash and cash equivalent. The third one was a handling of irregular expenditure with this element of consequence management. Honorable members, we thought by the end of financial year and the audit cycle commenced, we would have done justice to all the three at the same time, etc. Circumstances dictated otherwise. But the first steps we took was that previously the branch corporate management did not have an acting DDG, and a DDG, and we had to get one of the senior managers who have been in the department to come in there and support the labor relations and all other units in HR to assist us to utilize those reports that were assessing as the framework. There's a framework from National Treasury that actually indicates the steps to be done until you reach the point of finding who should be liable and whether the irregular expenditure is occasioned by what they call in the language that says unintentional or negligence or even fraud, if any, etc. The work has been performed, indeed, and we know it. Members of committees, not one person, many persons, and others, some of the irregularities could even be coming from the office of the DG, etc. They were able to identify which cases do not will not warrant a full inquiry because of the nature of what is presented there, and isolated them and indicated those that will need in a disciplinary inquiry, quantifiable, etc. We had hoped that we will then have maybe multiple panel system and deal with those, because it's about almost 4 years before we even talk about the most direct issues here. I want to submit to this committee that this we are doing. The only thing is that during this reporting period, as at this reporting period, we have not made progress, but we have not stopped. And we, as honorable members have called for us reporting on this, we will definitely do so. I do note one of the referred cases was where it was given to the DG, because one of the people reporting to the DG was identified in that to be looked at. And we have done that, and we have established the fact. And unfortunately, it was a case that we could not handle it in the manner that these other ones that are outstanding are. We are busy with that, and we will be reporting to the to the portfolio committee, because I would submit to the honorable members that when we deal with cases such as this, there are two aspects we need to take note of, is that we have to be sure, and then there are two tests. Procedural fairness, substantive fairness, are those kinds of elements, and we'll deal with them. And we will definitely, in the same way that we dealt with those two other matters I alluded to, which is assets and cash, on this other matter, we'll still follow it up. And we hope that we will get done with it in time for the next cycle. The other question that comes to mind before I lose the track was the fact of diplomat returning home suffering comorbidities, risks associated with that which Mr. Honorable Bergman raised. We do have these cases. We have people reporting comorbidities. We sought advice here at home from the Department of Health, who also consulted with the Ministerial Advisory Council, and they have advised us about how we can go, how we can go about it, that such employees, because in the countries they are, for example, in where there is this second wave or second surge, we are not in the second surge phase yet, and the international travel has been opened, and our submission is that they should be able to travel back home, because we have been informed very scientifically that it is not risky for them to travel, and we'll do exactly that. And then vulnerabilities of ICT systems, I'll skip this one for now, but honorable members will recall that when we presented the new APPN Strat plan, we did, in fact, it's one of our deliverables. We have through the ministerial task team, we have a digital strategy, and we have an implementation plan, and we have lined up all the relevant activities that should be followed up. And then we are hopeful that this is a process that will be undertaken over the MTF, we will overcome. But currently, as it was reported in the presentation, that we did enter into a number of agreements with the current service providers to deal, among others, with a security aspect of that. I must indicate that there are two companies that were leasing computers to us, is Mastec and Datacentrix. That has ended. Unfortunately, during the period under review, which is why they are the thing of continuous contract has been mentioned, that they have been terminated, they've been on agreement terminated. There will be no threat of that the department will suffer, because after all they had gone beyond their lives, so they are no longer there. And the other one was on the removal. There was an irregular tender. We've managed to award to a new service provider, so it's terminated. The one that is still with us, which is not terminated yet, and which we have to deal with in a different way, because as one of the members, or I don't remember whether it was a chair, honorable chair, that someone was even disciplined for, and the requirement of condonation is that you must have investigated, you must have held someone liable, and you must have taken someone into disciplinary process, and then you would have to produce that as evidence to National Treasury for condonation. And it is one of the highest, that it is actually ending, well, we are having challenges in replacing, of course, because it is a service that needs to be continuous, but it is BT communication. And we is the only one, if I will check my facts correct, that is outstanding, but it is not beyond this period. It is simply because we needed to treat it in terms of the treasury framework on irregular expenditure, follow all the steps, and we believe it's a condonable case. Okay, the missions that are not assisting people in UK and US, we'll check that, but we know that in some countries where there are lockdowns, the problem is that indeed it is difficult for us to determine whether it is through our own people not helpful or its circumstances beyond our control. But in most cases, when people frustrated call head office, we do intervene and we end up overcoming that. There was a question from Honorable Nkosi regarding the issue of governance, why risk is a subcommittee of the audit committee, and that is violating, according to the Honorable, is violating the governance issues. I must indicate that there is a public sector risk management framework which is guiding us, and it encourages free flow of information between these two governance committees. One flows into the other. Hence, the department saw it prudent. In fact, the deputy chair was actually put as an acting chair for that duration, because the then chair had the term had expired. So we needed, was the policy says the chair of a risk management committee should be external, and therefore we were bound to get one of the members to assist us to oversee the committee. So for us, it was bringing a lot of synergy. As members would recall, that the audit, internal audit framework issued by Treasury and this public sector risk management framework those two indicate the symbiotic relationship. However, they will maintain the separation in order to ensure that the one does not actually overshadow the other. Why did the department submit a statement that had to be corrected? Indeed, in the process of audit, honorable member, the issue is that you would do something that you hope is correct. And the third eye, the auditor general is an external assurance provider who can say, but this one, this one is not correct, and then you have to correct it, etc. Such findings are always there, but as we try to improve, we will ensure that we eliminate most of them. I think I've spoken for too long. I'll take others. I see there was one that was specific relating to Ubuntu Radio. I wanted Ms. Munyela to quickly assist me when I'm ticking off the other remaining questions. And if possible, other colleagues may come in. I have a list here, I'll check. If the chair, honorable committee, will allow me to indulge Mr. Munyela to assist me with this one when I'm still proof-checking the other questions that were following. Am I allowed?
Proceed.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. The genesis of Ubuntu Radio is that when I joined the department with the team, we were given a mandate, and it became clear to us that the public diplomacy mandate is both domestic and global.